Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday in the Easter season. We're going to talk with three travelers at the National Catholic Educational Association gathering in Chicago by telephone this morning. Hope you'll stick around. An interesting conversation about what they are learning as they attend that conference and planning to bring back home to the schools in the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Jean, you all have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading. Deacon John Devlin with the gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the others dared to join them, but the people esteemed them. Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. The word of the Lord. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, your brother, who share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Jesus, found myself on the island called Patmos, because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see." Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me, and when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, wearing an ankle-length robe with a gold sash around his chest. When I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the netherworld. Write down, therefore, what you have seen and what is happening and what will happen afterwards." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Cathedral of St. Joseph Parish recently celebrated a Mass and hosted a breakfast afterward for families of religious sisters. 14 families were in attendance representing their daughters and sisters who have entered religious life in 11 different religious convents and congregations around the world. Deacon Glenn Ritter was the homilist for the Mass, expressing his own sentiments as a father of a daughter in religious life. The event was an occasion for families to share the joys and challenges of having a loved one in religious life. The event was also an occasion of gratitude for the vocations from their families and joyful service to the church. The parish hopes to make it an annual event. You can read and see more about the event in the April edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Wheeling Jesuit University will end its Jesuit affiliation at the end of the current academic year. The decision was made by the Board of Directors in the Maryland province of the Society of Jesus and announced earlier in April. This decision in no way impacts the academic credentials of past, present, or future students or changes its distinctive Roman Catholic identity, the announcement said. The university said it aims to realign its academic programs to better equip students for the 21st century economy while emphasizing core academic programs in health sciences, business administration, and education, the announcement said. Wheeling will no longer maintain majors in theology and philosophy and other disciplines. The Jesuits and school officials said there will be a new relationship between the religious order and the university to ensure an ongoing Jesuit presence and influence is being finalized. Details will be released at a later date. The university will be rebranded with a new name still to be determined. It will continue to offer Mass and Catholic campus ministry at the Chapel of Mary and Joseph, while the Ignatian ideals of service and Catholic teachings on social justice will also continue at the Appalachian Institute, named to honor Reverend Clifford M. Lewis, the first Jesuit to reside in Wheeling in 1954, the announcement said. Preservation of the family, marriage, and the unborn were the main themes of the annual National Catholic Prayer Breakfast at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Washington, D.C. this past week. Faith in the crucified and risen Christ shields us from two cold and deadly sins, arrogant presumption and cynical despair, said Bishop Thomas J. Olmsted of Phoenix, who was the guest speaker. Neither of which are appropriate in a Christian leader. The enemy of our souls does not care which we prefer. Bishop Olmsted, who is a consultant to the Pro-Life Committee of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, said the matter of legal abortion has defined his ministry since he was ordained a priest in Lincoln, Nebraska in 1973, the year of the Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion on demand. It's my pastoral duty to proclaim the gospel of life and the protection in law of the most vulnerable among us. The love of Christ compels me. Bishop Olmsted also recalled the words of St. John Paul II at a Mass on the National Mall in October 1979. We will stand up and proclaim that no one ever has the authority to destroy unborn life. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks so much. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by telephone, Daryl Thuringer, who directs the Catholic schools for the Diocese of Sioux Falls, Mark Stone from Aberdeen Roncalli, and Darlene Braun from St. Joseph School in Pierre. They're in Chicago at the National Catholic Educational Association gathering, and they agreed to talk to us this morning by phone to share a little bit of the experience that they are having during this conference. Daryl, we'll start with you. It's a great thing to have this close enough that you can get a few folks from our diocese to attend an event like this.
Oh, this has been a blessing to be able to have so many people from the Catholic Diocese of Sioux Falls attend. The Catholic Foundation for Eastern South Dakota was gracious enough to provide a grant to help us pay for transportation. So we jumped on a bus. We drove 10 hours, and we're in Chicago.
And Darlene, I'll start with you. Have you been at an event like this before? Is this a new opportunity for you? And if so, what are you experiencing?
I have been blessed to be at two other NCAA conferences, but this has come out a wonderful time in my life because I needed that renewal, that Catholic education is alive and well. When you celebrate Mass with 9,000 individuals that are all educators, it gives you God bumps.
You're there with 9,000 of your closest friends.
Yes, we are.
That's great. How about you, Mark? Have you had a chance to do one of these before, or is this a new one?
I have had the opportunity before. I've been to the Twin Cities a couple times and to St. Louis, so I guess this would be my fourth opportunity. And as Darlene pointed out, it's such a blessing and to start the day with so many people. And she pointed out 9,000 folks to share Mass with, and us from Aberdeen, and I'm sure we speak for the others. We're just so grateful for Daryl and the diocese and just the opportunity to be here.
And I would think there's a value also in that bus time. I mean, I know 10 hours in a bus is an awful long time, but there's probably something about that in terms of experiencing other people from the diocese and the schools all around the diocese. That's there's some value in that too, I would guess.
It is wonderful to get to know the teachers. I feel like I know the principals well, but to get to know the teachers that give every day and to take their ideas back to my teachers is very rewarding.
How about Daryl? I think from your perspective especially, I'm guessing it's something that you really appreciate getting the group together.
I do really appreciate having a group together. I was a little worried about having so many different schools on one bus for 10 hours. So I actually put together a couple of games so that people would get to know each other. Honestly, I did not need any of those games. The teachers are so excited to spend some time together. They were sharing stories before we were out of Sioux Falls. It's just a really great group that's working together.
I think what I recall during the years when my kids were in Catholic schools is that there is a bit of a built-in a commonality, maybe is the right word. I'm not sure what the right word is, but there's a passion that so many that work in our Catholic schools, that teach in our Catholic schools, that lead our Catholic schools, that they have. And I suspect, Mark, maybe I'll ask you this, that you really get a sense of that even in a greater perspective when you're at something like this.
Oh, for sure, Jerry. And, you know, not just the bus ride with those from our diocese, but to be here, and whether you know them by name or not, just to know that you're all sharing in really this awesome privilege and responsibility to be in a Catholic school. And it's just so affirming in so many ways. And it makes us all believe and feel that we're right where the Lord wants us to be.
And I'll stick with you, Mark, and say there's something about knowing you're not alone in this, right? I mean, we can all feel kind of isolated in our work sometimes, but man, you get together with 9,000 folks, you know that you're not in it alone.
Pretty hard to feel like you're on an island when you get to be a part of something like this. And you know, to be sure, there in teaching, there's a lot of days where we're in our rooms and we do our thing and we do our ministry and that's a great blessing. But to be sure, it's really awesome to be able to gather with again, people that you know or don't know. And, it's just so affirming. You know, the Lord speaks to us and reminds us that this is His intention, exactly what we should be doing.
Jerry, if I could add something, I get the opportunity to travel around and visit a lot of the schools, all schools in our diocese. And each school painstakingly goes through and writes a mission statement that kind of directs the work that they do at an individual level at the school. But when you come to a meeting like this and you have 9,000 people from all over the United States and I think about 15 countries, other countries from around the world, you quickly realize that we have one shared mission statement in Catholic education, and that is to pass on the faith and educate our children for the future.
Yeah, and boy, if that doesn't invigorate a crowd like that, I can't imagine what does to know you have that common purpose, especially in this octave of Easter. It's a great time to be gathering, and I know that's the tradition, the traditional time, and I kind of get why. It's a great time to jazz people up. Yeah.
This morning, the priest spoke about having our children leap for joy for Jesus. And to see all those administrators saying, yes, that's what I want for my children. It's very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I took a look. I went online and I took a look at the program, and frankly, I was overwhelmed looking at the program. I can't imagine how you would decide which of the topics that you would spend some time on. It was like 20 pages of different variety of topics, you know, ranging from things in academia to obviously faith life to, you know, more technical things like assessments. And just on and on and on with subcategories and everything else. How did you both approach, and I'm thinking specifically of the two, the principal and the teacher here, and Daryl, I'll ask you the same thing in a bit, but Darlene, maybe I'll start with you. How did you decide, you know, this is what I need to go to when you have such a vast choice?
You look at your own little situation and where do you need help, and go from there. And honestly, sometimes it's just which room has a chair, because the rooms fill up mighty fast.
Yeah. So what have you chosen, Darlene? What we'll stick with you and tell us a little bit about what path you've been choosing.
I've been to a couple on marketing and to a couple on relieving stress in our teachers and our students.
Okay. Very good. Okay, Mark, let's move on to you. How did you decide, and what path are you kind of following?
Well, there's four of us from Mount Holly School System here, and one of the things that we do is sit down and have a conversation about who's going to go to what. But we do try to focus on maybe topics and sessions that would apply directly to us. For example, I teach religion, so I've been really excited to be a part of some sessions yesterday and again this morning that had to do with just the student issues. One, for example, was on servant leadership and helping to develop that among your students, and others just on the importance of relationships and how that's such a powerful connection, you know, not only between students, but between teacher and student. And so, and as Darlene pointed out, sometimes you got to make a move early, or you might not get a chance.
you're gonna end up standing through the sessions, it sounds like. Yeah, that's good. We're talking with Darlene Braun from St. Joseph School in Pierre, Mark Stone from Aberdeen Roncalli, and Daryl Thuringer, who directs schools for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. They're attending the National Catholic Educational Association gathering in Chicago. And Daryl, let's pick it up with you. This is your first opportunity, I believe, to come to a conference like this. So how do you approach it, and what are you following up on?
This is my first NCEA meeting, and I'm a little bit overwhelmed, especially when I got the textbook-sized program. Thank God they have an app that I don't have to carry around that big book. When I looked at it, I was really looking at different programs that I could use to help all of the schools in the diocese. Not all of our schools were able to send somebody or were able to attend. So I'm really looking at something that I can take and implement and help some schools. I'm also looking at things that I can help with board management. All of our schools either have a governing board or an advisory board, and how can we help them help the school be a better place and be a stronger place for our children?
Okay. Well, so just in the three of you, we've covered quite an array of the topics, and I know there's more than that. I saw a couple things that suggest there's a lot of trying to stay on the cutting edge with things. There's some stuff on social media. There's something called digital discipleship, and I don't know if any of you have picked up on that or looked at that or not, but I thought that was fascinating.
We brought the director of IT, our own Don Wolf, who runs the diocese computer systems and everything, and I know that she has been to many of those, and she was very excited to be attending some of those, so that we can take some of that information back to our schools, we can improve the infrastructure, but we can also help students become more responsible and better citizens when it comes to using all of the digital devices and information that they have available.
I also noticed there's a fair emphasis on the word partnership, and I can imagine that that covers a lot of different ground. I know certainly in Aberdeen and in Peer and in many of our schools across the diocese, those kind of partnerships are essential to the success of the schools. Maybe Mark and Darlene, both of you can say a word about that.
Well, I know our peer community is so very supportive of St. Joseph's School, and they appreciate the students that we turn out. And so keeping those partnerships alive is very well. It helps. We need to do that financially.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
And similarly, in Aberdeen, we have both Sacred Heart and St. Mary's Parishes, who historically have just been tremendously supportive and generous to our school system. And it would be very fair to say that without their support spiritually, financially, and in every way, we certainly wouldn't be the same school system. And you could make a good argument that it wouldn't still be there. So when we talk about partnership between school and parish, that's just such an essential thing. And we have so many people that have a great love of the Catholic school system in Aberdeen, and we've been such a beneficiary of that.
Yeah, that makes a world of difference, doesn't it? I know, Daryl, that's something you work on all the time, is to support those schools in that and all the different ways that, and frankly, maybe even that they partner with each other.
Yes, we are always looking for new and exciting ways to grow the schools and to grow our partnership and to improve the education. We're very proud of the education that we provide in all of our schools, but we can never rest on our laurels, either in addressing our needs with our partners or addressing what our students need as far as an educational opportunity.
Yeah, and I do have to say, as I looked at through that program, the academic offerings, you know, in pretty much every topic are there. So whatever a school or a teacher that's there might, you know, feel the need to beef up on, boy, there's plenty of opportunity to do that. So that's a very helpful thing. Daryl, I wanted to say, have you say a little bit too about another topic I saw covered quite extensively, and that's Catholic ID. It comes through in a lot of different ways, not maybe explicitly, but implicitly. I think that in that sense and the importance of Catholic identity for our schools is perhaps more important than ever.
Catholic identity is who we are as Catholic schools. That's often a hard one for our partners to wrap their arms around.
Mm-hmm.
Our parishes understand it, but if you get outside of our parishes, Catholic identity is difficult for people to understand. It's really, how do we live our Catholic faith? How do we exemplify it? What do we do in our schools to pass on the faith? And there is so much rich information being shared across in the hallways here and across all of the different sessions on how we can be better served and better servants to the church and to our students. The homilies have been very rich in challenging us to challenge our students, challenge our teachers, and challenge our parents to live that Catholic identity, not just within the walls of the school, but throughout their entire life.
That's great. And I appreciated your reference to the hallway conversations, because I imagine sometimes that networking that happens is among the most important things that when you go to a conference like this that happens is your connections with other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
This morning I was blessed to be able to speak to a couple of individuals that survived Katrina, and they were telling me about the devastation of their own schools and that these children are just scattered throughout Louisiana now and just the need for prayer that they still need.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're nearing the end here, and I want to give both Darlene and Mark and Daryl a chance to, particularly for Mark and Darlene, to talk about what is it that you will bring back from this gathering, from the NCEA gathering, that you will bring back to your school and share with others. So, Darlene, let's start with you.
Well, like I said at the beginning, the joy, I just feel filled with joy and respect for our mission. And I just think I'm rejuvenated. And I think that will pass throughout my whole staff. It's a nice way to end the year rejuvenated, because then you know you're ready for the next year.
Joy does have a way of seeping from us to others when we really feel it. So I appreciate that. Mark, how about you? What are the takeaways that you will bring back to Aberdeen Round Collie?
Well, I think to share that with those that I get to work with in Aberdeen and in our school, to share with them that some of the challenges we experience are shared by other schools, and maybe some of the strategies that they've used to overcome those, but also to share with them and to be affirming in so many ways that we do a lot of good things, and that we're on the right path, and we're on the path that the Lord would want us to be on, and to just let them know that those that we encountered this week have similar challenges, and we're all doing so much good work, and to just be affirming that to stay the course and continue in the direction that, again, the Lord would desire us to do.
Awesome. And Daryl, I'll give you the last word in the last 30 seconds or so. What are you bringing back home?
I agree with both Mark and Darlene, bringing back a sense of joy, bringing back a sense of purpose that we are on the right path, but also bringing back some new ideas where we have that sense of joy and we know we're doing the Lord's work. And perhaps he's challenging us to look at how we're doing his work in a new and different way. And I've learned some exciting things when I've been here about different ways that we can approach some of the problems that our schools are challenged with every day. And maybe the Lord is calling us to go in a little bit different direction to achieve the same goal.
Well, we look forward to learning more as you all come back home. Daryl Thuringer, Director of Catholic Schools, Mark Stone from Aberdeen Round Collie, Darlene Braun from St. Joseph's School in Pierre. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of their time, and we'll look forward to seeing you back home.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Gene, I want to highlight this week's events at Cathedral, celebrating 100th anniversary.
That's an amazing celebration. There is plenty going on.
Yeah, check out the website, stjosephcathedral.net. You'll find out all the details for each of the nights and the different activities that are going on. I hope you'll be able to participate in some of it. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next week.